unusual year in that bonds have gone down at the same time that stocks have gone down. Historically speaking, they don't have that correlation. They typically move in opposite directions. When people get risk off and sell out of their stocks, they usually flock to bonds. Unfortunately, with historically high inflation and interest rates moving up, that's impacted the bond market in a negative fashion. One of the worst bond markets returns I've seen, certainly in my
career. Has this ever occurred in the past, let's say over the last 90 years, where both equities and the bonds have?
They have for short periods of time moved down in both directions, but not to this magnitude. I haven't seen a year where you've seen this big of a sell-off in the stock market coincide with this, the worst bond market returns we've seen in history. I explained to clients, it's quite an anomaly, and you know it will go back to the normal, quote-unquote, normal relationship we've seen with stocks and bonds. It's just this temporary moment in time. It's a very unusual time where interest rates are ratcheting up, which is driving bond values down. At the same time, people are selling out of stocks because they've had quite a run over the last 3-plus years. So I do expect that relationship to go back to normal. So it should not, for long-term investors, really impact your strategy. It's not a time to sell out of your stocks and bonds and go hide out in cash, because markets do recover, and when they recover very quickly. And if you miss out on the top 10 to 20 updates in the market, you miss out on most of the market recovery. So trying to time that, jumping in and out of the market, is virtually impossible. We don't advise clients to do that. We suggest you stick to your strategy, having a diversified mix of assets between stocks and bonds. Over the long run, history has shown it's a safer, less riskier way to get market-like returns. So that's my long-winded answer of saying that it's a very unusual year. It's a very bad year for investors, but we don't think that the U.S. economy is on the verge of like a financial crisis like we saw back in 07, 08. We think the underlying fundamentals for the U.S. economy are still pretty healthy. If we do get into a recession, we think it's probably going to be shallow momentarily. It won't be that long. You see, expectations here are that GDP growth here is pretty paltry, 1.7%. Next year, really, economists are thinking that that might be the year that we do see potential recession, maybe a 0.5% growth. But then 2024, moving upward. So 2023 might be a difficult year. We may see more layoffs. We've seen certainly a lot of announcements in some of these tech companies that I think got ahead of their skis, probably hired way more people than they probably should have. So for the most part, we've seen a lot of announcements and layoffs, primarily in the tech industry. But whether that catches fire and hits many other sectors, we don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. One of the positive things with the economy now is the job market. There's still, historically speaking, really low unemployment. 3.5% is historically very low unemployment. There's still millions and millions of jobs openings, more than people that are seeking jobs. So it's still a fairly healthy job market, which is a good thing for the economy. Difficult for businesses to find the employees they want to get, but that's one bright side. But we are seeing a slowdown overall in the economy. We look at things like this purchaser manager index. So we've seen a slowdown here. Manufacturing's just hovering above expansion. Services has been kind of the bright spot of the economy, whereas initially coming out of the pandemic, economic recovery, a lot of money was spent on goods. Now we're seeing that those spending into services, people going out traveling a lot more than they have in the past. In terms of the Federal Reserve, we expect them to increase interest rates again here in November, likely going to be 0.75%, 0.75%. That's going to bring up the short-term rate, which we call the Fed funds rate, to over 4%, so it'll be about 4.25 close to it. So if you think about mortgage rates have more than doubled since the beginning of this year, price of oil and a lot of prices of a lot of things have gone up this year. So it doesn't feel like it's a great economy. It certainly has been slowing down, and the Fed increasing interest rates is certainly something that we think is likely going to take a pause early next year, whether it's at the February meeting or the one after. But at some point, we do believe inflation's gonna start to not rise and taper off at some point, and we think that's likely gonna be sometime next year. But we think the Fed is likely gonna increase interest rates in November, maybe in another one in December, then February. But I think they're gonna ratchet down, it might be 0.5% in December, maybe 0.25% in February. That's our guess best at this point. But it's really dependent on the inflation data. If inflation continues to come in higher than expected, the Fed's gonna keep ratcheting up rates. That's essentially the only tool they have to try and tackle inflation. So that's certainly when you see headlines about, you know, the Fed getting hawkish or dovish, meaning they're more aggressive or less aggressive, that can sway investor sentiment one way or the other. I'll go to the next page, page three, just to give you kind of an idea of how equity and bond market returns have looked this year. It's been an atrocious year across the board for asset classes. Very few, if any, places to hide unless you're in cash or energy-related companies. You see in the upper left, these are equity or stock returns. So across the board, large, mid, and small-sized companies, whether they were considered growth or value style, all down significantly, and particularly growth. So, you know, growth, a lot of growth companies, think about large cap tech companies, sold off very big. I think I saw this morning, company formerly known as Facebook or Meta, their stock's down 70% this year. So some of these companies have sold off very, very much. But even worse than that, more surprising to me has been the bond market. You think about a typically bad year in the bond market, might be down between 3 to 5% at most. You know, the overall bond index, the ag bond, down 14.65, close to 15% down for bonds is very unusual. I haven't seen that I haven't seen that ever. So, but you can see every kind of bond category across the board. Treasuries, which is U.S. government bonds, so consider the safest investment in the world outside of just holding cash, down 13%.
Year to date, what's the cutoff date?
September 30th. So this is through the end of September.
Okay.
October's actually been a positive month so far. So some of these figures, have come back a little bit. But through the end of the third quarter, just atrocious returns. IG, which is investment grade corporate bonds. So you think investment grade companies, their bonds are down over 18.5%. That's doesn't make sense. And in the face that you see high yield, which are riskier bonds, didn't go down as much. So it's just a really unusual year in terms of, in particular, the bond markets. And then you see here the sectors, every single sector outside of energy, negative on the year. So it's not just one sector, one company. It's been across the board. Unless you had exposures to, commodities or energy, you've probably lost money as an investor. I mean, it's just the nature of how the markets have been this year. Having said that, we don't think that, it's time to panic. If anything, it's time to stick to your strategy. If you have cash to put to work, historically speaking, if you're a long-term investor, it might not be a bad time to pick and choose. We do think there's going to be more volatility between now and the end of the year. But we think when the Fed pauses their interest rates, if we start to see some relief in inflation, if there's any sign of good news coming out of Russia and Ukraine, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon, I think we're likely going to see some positive news in inflation and the Fed pausing early next year. I think investors will react to that in a positive way. So I would expect the bottom out of the markets to be sometime between now and early to mid next year. If not, if we haven't already gotten there, but it's hard to tell. I'll pause there, see if there's any questions.
I just a quick question for you. All our employees got their statements as of June 30th. As far as the losses that occurred for the year, what's happened from June 30th to September 30th in this first quarter? Has that continued to be more of a loss, or has that been more stable than the first? It's a 12-month cycle. July 1 to June 30th is our cycle for our actuarial reports showing. you know, what we gained or lost during the course of the year. So just curious what's happened in the last quarter.
Sure. So the third quarter was, one page here. It was negative. So looking in like the capital growth account, you know, stocks, the overall stock market was down 6.8%. The bond market was down another 4.75% for that quarter. So it was a negative quarter in terms of, you know, what did the markets do? So yeah, if you were invested, you know, since June to September, it was another down quarter, unfortunately, okay. Yeah.
But in looking at your data, correct me if I'm wrong, the loss in the third quarter is not as significant as the loss in the first two quarters.
Combined, no. Yeah, I think in the first two quarters it was down something like 10% or so. In terms of, you know, I think the bond market was down about 10% in the first two quarters. I did that. But yeah, it was a bad quarter, but not as bad as, you know, the first two quarters combined. I'll go to page four, put this in for a little historical perspective, just to point out some things. So this is historical returns for the defined benefit account, growth account. So you can see, I'll start on the right here. Year to date, obviously the worst returns we've seen in the portfolio. For anyone who's invested in a diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds, probably one of the worst years we've ever seen. Even going back to 2008, the last time I remember the stock market being this bad, the bond market was up that year. So, you know, going back to one of the worst years in the last few decades, this has been probably one of the worst years for investors, diversified investors. But just to give you perspective here, one of the things you do know is when there was a down year, the subsequent following 2 years, you saw some pretty decent portfolio returns. And so, you know, also a reason why I don't advise people after you've seen a market sell off to, it's not the time to go get cautious. If anything, it's the time to maybe realign your portfolio for opportunities for growth. So you can see in 2011, subsequent 2 years, you know, exponential growth. 2015, very good returns. 2018, following 3 years, decent returns. I'm not promising next year's going to be positive, but I imagine that a year or two from now, you'll look back and say, well, it's a good thing we stuck with it. And just inevitably, equity markets do return. The U.S. economy is very resilient.
I have a question. What is the actual loss in real money, or is it just loss in growth?
Let me see if I have that page here. If we go to page 8, I should have this number here. So at the top, there's a grid that shows you, okay, snapshots in time. You know, for the quarter, for the year to date, first 9 months of the year, and then 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 years, and then inception to date. So if you look at year to date, where we started at 9.7 million, where we were at the end of the last year, no withdrawals or contributions so far this year. There was some income earned, and then market appreciation is where you see the market losses, if you will. So a little over 2 million, you know, a little bit less than that in total because there was about 90,000 in income earned for the portfolio. So certainly an ugly year for portfolios.
I don't know that I understand that too well, but if I had invested $100 in 10 years ago and it grew to $1,000, I don't lose my $100. I just lose some of the growth that I've experienced over the years.
True. Over a 10-year period.
Over a 10-year period.
If you invested the $100 last year,
yeah,
that would now be $80.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
about 20% less.
Your original 100 would have grown to 1,000, and you lost 20%. And like Spencer said, you'd still, yeah, your investment now would be worth 800 rather than 1,000.
Yeah. But I'm just saying the employees can't just freak out and saying, well, we're losing all this money when it's actually growth they're losing, not real cash, right?
Well, unless they're new employees and that money just went in. Because if you look at this schedule, here, they had the 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And so basically
that erased, what, 5 years of gain? Is that what that's saying?
Yeah, if you look at the 5-year mark, so yeah, you can see that, you know, despite where you started and what came in, there's actually, you know, a negative market appreciation. But over that time period, you know, there was over $1.1 million in income. So that's interest and dividends. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, what's the real dollar? It'd be the combination of the two. So it's still positive over 5 years. Even over 3 years, it's been positive growth, despite, you know, the terrible year we've had so far.
So if somebody went into the market this year, they probably would have lost cash, right?
Yeah, anyone that started investing in January 1st probably lost, you know, at least 20% or so. Yeah. Would have been a good time to start investing. But, no one expected, you know, inflation this high. No one expected Russia to invade Ukraine. I mean, no one really expected inflation to linger this long. And so there's a lot of things that happened just the first 9 months of this year that people weren't expecting. So, which attributed to kind of this big reversal of investor sentiment.
But do we have, how many new employees do we have? We don't have that many that have put into the market.
Well, again, these are the dollars we're putting in for the employees, which they can't draw until they, you know, there's a 7-year vesting, and so things will correct themselves as time goes on. But the key right now is for anyone closing out their retirement account now, you know, they don't have an opportunity
to correct
through our program to correct, but they could reinvest those funds and take advantage of the market correction that's anticipated coming up. So if you draw it now.
I mean, we're going to be, later on, we're going to be meeting with employees in both the defined benefit, the defined contribution. What advice, when they're going to ask us a question, they're going to say, oh, my shucks, I've lost 20%. What advice do we give them other than stay the course, the allocations are correct, and over time you're going to recover? Do you have any, I mean, you must have to make that phone call to some of your other clients.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes, you know, your initial reaction or your human behavior drives your decision making. And so when things look bad, people have a tendency to be like, oh, well, let's just stop the bleeding, like take everything out. And it's like, well, when are you going to get back in? Yeah, I've seen studies that show people are hesitant to get back in the market, and they oftentimes miss out when the market bounces back. Also, most people hate losing money more than they like making it. it's just natural behavior, I think. I'm the same way. I mean, when I lose a dollar, it feels terrible. But if I found a dollar in the street, it's kind of like, oh, it's a dollar. But I hate losing it. So that kind of drives human behavior in decision making. I would say, you always hear trust your gut, but sometimes it's like certain things you shouldn't trust your gut, maybe, in terms of like, God, it feels terrible, I'm going to get out. I've seen, you know, market historical returns, and if you chose to get out at the bottom of a market and don't get back in at the right time, you miss out on a lot of the recovery. So even though it feels bad, it feels risky, my advice would be to stick with it because timing the market is nearly impossible. It's a fool's errand.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is the only one that really affects are those that are retiring, because anyone that's not retiring is in the program, so there's not an option for them to get in or out. You know, they're along for the ride until they retire, but once they retire, you know, then the question is, do they roll it into, because they have to roll it out of our program. And I think your advice is to roll it into a kind of an equivalent stock.
Yeah, whatever they're comfortable with, you know, we call it an investment objective. So we manage these to be kind of balanced overall portfolios, which is, you know, having stocks in the range of about 40 to 70%, somewhere in there. You often hear 60-40 portfolio or 50-50. So having a balanced portfolio over time, for a long period of time, if you're going to retire, but you need the money for the next 10, 20, 30 years, don't be too conservative, I would advise people, because, one, I think inflation is going to be higher than it has been in the last two decades, on average. And I think bond returns are not going to be very high. So if you take, you know, we call it real returns. So what's my return after inflation? What's my dollar really worth? that's really impacts investment for retirees, because if they're living off of a fixed income, they don't want the value of their income to deteriorate over time. So a balanced portfolio, even for someone who's retired, might make sense, because I think stocks over the long run have shown to give you better returns. But balance it out with some conservative investment and bonus as well.
Spencer, so you're suggesting that those employees who are on the cusp of retiring, they're the ones who might be most at risk, and those who are still employed and have a longer horizon, they'll be around when the market makes its recovery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've seen this before. You know, it was ironic because you know, the city went to a much more market-based investment strategy back in, well, John was on there at the time, but and that was right at the big crash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was the right decision to make. It was made at kind of a challenging time. But in the long run, that's actually been the right decision. So these things will recover based on history. But it employees are getting their statements showing what they've lost this current year, and that's been a reversal of what we've had for a few years here. So it's not things that, you know, it's not something that, you know, people are wanting to see on their retirement returns that went out. They went out last week, Barb.
They did.
So everyone got their statement about, you know, where they're at. And then if you remember, we've got the two groups. We've got the group that has been hired after 2012, which are all defined contributions. Mm-hmm. And the group that was hired before that time is a combination of annuity and defined contributions. So
the message is stay the course.
That's the message.
That's the message.
Yeah. If someone was retiring and getting a lump sum of money, I would say invest it. I mean, you're going to need, like, first of all, do you want your money to grow, or you just want to, like, use it?
Yeah. Probably the better decision is seek a financial advisor to advise them. So.
Well, and the new hires are, you know, they can't touch it for 7 years anyway, so it's in for the long haul for them anyway, and they're committed to it. They're committed to it. They can't do anything with it. So yep. they're gonna be out of this and already see their money going back up by the time their 7 years gets here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's from a fiduciary standpoint, I mean, you're obligated to do the right thing for the portfolio. So it wouldn't be the right thing to do for us to just, you know, try and market time and jump in and out of the markets. The right thing is to be well diversified and have a sound strategy over a long period of time, because the portfolios are designed to be very long term in nature. So
I believe, Andrew, you're going to stay for the employees.
I can, yeah.
I think that's what we've done in the past. We've had someone in the trust stay, so for these questions.
Okay, give a market summary.
Thank you. So, do you have anything else to add on your the topic of the investment market and investment market liquidity review? Because we've interrupted you with questions.
No, it's okay. I mean, the rest of the deck is pretty similar. I mean, I have the defined contribution annual returns here, but there's a summary page here. It gives you where we were at the end of September. I'm looking at page 6, and then where we were at the end of just earlier this week, October 25th. Markets have come up a little bit so far in October. So that has been a positive thing. I won't go through all the performance returns here, but in the past we've seen, in particularly, you know, over time periods, the portfolio has done okay. But for example, for this year, you know, the overall portfolio is down 19.69%. The stocks or equity strategies has been right in line. The overall all country world index is down 25.63%. So just an atrocious year for stocks, but even more so for bonds. The fixed income or bonds in this growth portfolio is down about 13.4, where the overall index is down 14.6. And we have some exposure to some real estate that's lumped here into an alternatives category. And so that's done, you know, worse than bonds, but better than stocks. It gives a little bit more diversification. Gives you an overall picture of, you know, what's been going on this year. It hasn't been a pretty year. Inception to date column, this shows you, this goes back and captures all the history of the portfolio. Spencer mentioned that, you know, 2008 was a terrible year. And so this captures both that sell-off and this sell-off currently. So despite, you know, some pretty terrible market returns in certain years, positive growth overall for the portfolio, up 4.7, primarily driven by stocks, up about 5% per year over that time period, whereas the overall market was up only about 4%. Bonds did better than the overall market there, up 3.4 about versus 2.74. So over long periods of time, it makes sense to be well diversified. We're searching for better risk-adjusted returns, is what we call it. Similar type of returns, I'll go ahead and fast forward here. I'll touch on page 9 real quick. We have been overweight U.S. exposure versus international, primarily for, we just think the U.S. is one further ahead in recovery, and with their Federal Reserve ratcheting up interest rates, we think they're further ahead with that. Also, we have some concerns about Chinese exposure. Europe's likely in a recession. Certainly, they have a lot of risk going on there with their energy dependence on Russia. So we've been overweighting U.S. versus international. I'll skip over to page 11, which is the defined contribution. We manage this portfolio hand-in-hand with the capital growth account with the defined benefit. So very similar returns, you know, almost 20% down, primarily driven by stocks. Bonds haven't helped out too much this year at all. But a similar story over time, over 4% growth, annualized average returns, primarily driven from stock exposure. And then they have the same other pages here. The last two pages are just for the contribution trust. Again, very similar, almost identical allocation. The pie chart here shows you the U.S. exposure is red versus yellow is international, so overweight. We continue to be overweight U.S. versus international. We think going into next year that's going to continue to outperform. So in summary, we don't recommend any big changes. We have increased some of our cash positioning coming into the end of this year. We expect some volatility. We might see some improvement in the markets following the election time period. History has shown some years after elections, we've seen the market recover through the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Investors don't like uncertainty, so oftentimes once, you know, the political picture clears up, there's some more positive investor sentiment one way or the other.
Anyone have any questions of Mr. Haggerty? Thank you, Mr. Haggerty. 2 years ago and last year when the market was, you know, rising, I always was wondering how you would handle it when we came into a correction phase, and you've explained it well for us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We continue to appreciate the business, and, you know, we feel honored to be trying to help the city meet their obligations.
We did like you better the last 3 years.
We liked you better last year.
Yeah. I remember at our last meeting, as these numbers were being explained, you were just, oh my gosh, you were highly concerned.
Yeah.
Now he's resigned himself.
I'm highly concerned now.
But stay the course. You know?
Yeah, stay the course.
In this downturn, is there? How's the cash going for paying the people their money? I mean, the retirees, is that still?
Oh yeah, I mean we're still pay? Yeah, making pay. It's not like the portfolio is still there. We're still, you know, meeting demands.
Enough money to pay everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. So when they come in, there's enough money to pay everybody.
Yeah, there's enough money to pay any retiree right now. because they're not all expected to retire right now.
The other thing too is the on the defined contribution end, that money is all set aside, so that money is always there to pay off. It's a defined benefit that is the one that will vary as far as the percentage that's funded or not funded.
Yeah.
And in the actuarial reports, we saw that number go down quite a bit based on the market from this year. So that means that the long-term requirements for that have gone up in order to meet those requirements through the life of all our retirees. You know, so that we have a commitment that goes on for the life of our retirees or their spouses going forward. And that's the one that's more of a management concern from an investment standpoint, because we need to make sure there's enough money to meet those obligations
as those folks decide to retire.
Yeah, that vary as time goes on going forward. So defined contribution folks, but we're down to, I'm trying to remember how many defined benefit people we have. It's remarkably small.
It went down again this year. So.
Yeah, do you remember?
I can't remember the exact number.
You don't have the actuarial report, April.
Oh, we can.
Who is going to give the actuarial report review? Is it okay if we move on to this Steve's presentation? You're not saying you're going to hang on 5 minutes.
No, no, no. Dietmar was kind of happy. He thought that means I can't retire when I wanted to retire. So.
Hang on in there.
See you.
Can't go. Sorry.
Yeah, so I think overall it kind of reiterates, you know, that if you look at the pages, pretty much we're in a downturn right now. So that. Obviously, everything's kind of gone down a little bit. So the active employees, looks like we're at 13 right now on page one there.
Yeah, so we only have 13 active employees that are under the defined benefit program. So the funding of that becomes easier to deal with. So we have, how many employees are drawn from the system?
67 total.
67 active and then retirees?
And retirees.
Yep.
So if you look at the overall, pretty much you can see where the market went.
Direct them to the right page.
Oh, page one there. So if you look at the
page one.
Yeah. So it compares the 2021 to 2022. So you see it went from market value went from 10 million to 8.7 million. So it was a marked decrease there. I think the page that most people are going to be most interested in is what do we need to invest in next year?
Yeah. Well, the other thing that this group has watched closely is the actual actuarial present value of accrued benefits. If you look in 21, we were at 99%, which meant we were fully funded.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, to meet the obligations of our retirees going forward. With the market conditions, that's dropped down to 81%.
Yeah, 81%.
You can't retire. I'm not under this program.
And so at some point in time, we'll review those numbers and make a recommendation to the council as to how much they should be funding this.
Well, what the city's contribution should be to the program in order to do that. And there's several alternatives outlined in this report about how to, you know, what levels, how quickly you want to recover that money.
Accrued liability went down to 79%. From fully funded down to.
Yep.
Bad year. Significant, yeah.
Yes, so I think overall it's just showing that it wasn't a good year at this point. But like you said, we just need to stay the course because, you know, it's going to reverse itself at some point here. I don't think we probably need to go into too much detail with the others, just more information on kind of where we're at. But I think probably the page you're probably most interested in is probably page 8. So page 8 actually gives us three different options on how to what we need to contribute next year to kind of make sure we fulfill our obligations for the defined benefit people. So they have a 25-year plan, a 20-year plan, and a 10-year plan. And so historically, we've stuck to the 10-year plan. So right now, we are actually contributing $310,000 this plan year. But next year, they're recommending that we up that a little bit to compensate for the decline in market value.
And the 10-year plan means we're going to try to capture that loss over a period of 10 years.
Yeah, period of 10 years.
The 20-year plan will be over 20 years, and the 25-year plan will be over 25 years.
But if I'm hearing Steve correctly, you're down to 17 defined benefit
active
employees.
Yeah, active
employees. Active employees, but we still have the obligations for, what was the total number, Steve?
67.
60. Yeah, there's 67 people, of which
17 are active.
Yeah, 17 are currently employed, and the balance are beneficiaries of the system. And again, we have that obligation through, you know, the life of the employee and or spouse, whoever survives, whoever the longest. And so, and those are, you know, so that's a lifetime obligation we have. And so they, with the actuarial values, what they do is they take a look at, you know, what the average age of all our people that are in the system are, what the average lifespan is for men, for women, and we just updated those values, you know, to modernize them. I think a year ago or 2 years ago, the trust accepted new numbers for that, and which were more realistic numbers going forward. So anyway, that's kind of. Bottom line is we'll be contributing.
So for the next 10 years, we'll contribute $110,000.
Yeah, so the recommendation, if we stay with the 10-year program, the city would be contributing $110,000 more into retirement in order to do that. That's been a recommendation that comes from this.
I think in the past, the committee's recommendation was to be fairly aggressive to get the fund, get the account fully funded.
Right.
Now we've taken this anomaly of declining equities, defining bonds, you know, and the city has other obligations.
Will this take effect to 99%?
No, over 10 years it would.
10 years.
Yeah, right.
When will the city be looking at its budget?
So the recommendation from this group should be made, you know, probably by your quarterly meeting after the first of the year.
Yeah,
would be timely for the budget process for next year. So
so our next meeting in January would be when, Kay?
January 26th.
January 26th.
Right.
Would,
so that would be an agenda.
If we make our recommendation on January 26th, would that give the city time to work it through the process?
Yep. That's
so right. That should be a high priority.
That should be on the agenda.
Yep.
To discuss this. And hopefully we'll have a full committee. Steve Brolio.
Yep.
And Dietmar.
Well, Dietmar is not a trustee.
Not a voter.
You and I are only two voting members.
No, three. And John.
And John.
John.
And John, okay.
Yeah, so there's five members that vote.
Right now.
And we've got a quorum with three members, which are the three of you. And so we will have to have a make sure that we have at least three members in January that are here and can vote. So.
Okay. So we have a lot of heavy lifting to do and some considerations to think through between now and January. But that again, at the end of the day, it'll be the council's decision, and they'll have to balance the need of funding the retirement plan versus the other needs of the community. Yeah, you don't have to ask me for permission to speak, Commissioner.
Who do I have to ask? Is your wife here?
Please, just speak up.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So the city is obligated to make up any shortfall. Is that correct?
For the defined benefit
right.
group.
Right. So that's
so there's still 17 employees.
Okay.
Well,
all 67.
All 67.
Pardon?
All 67.
So. Oh, 67.
Right.
Total 67.
Yeah, 17 current employees,
mm-hmm.
and the rest are retirees.
Got it.
Okay. So that's what we're talking about in terms of this.
Correct.
300 or 400,000
He's one of those 17.
Oh, I remember.
You know, it seems prudent to me then, to put it away now rather than have to make it up at some time in the future.
Right.
We're still, we're obligated for it.
You're obligated, right.
And if we get flush enough and the market comes back, we can reduce that. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding.
Yeah.
You can only kick this down the road so far.
Yeah, right.
At some time, we have to pay the bills.
Right. And legitimately, the city council could say, we're going to do this over 25 years because these obligations are obligations that'll be occurring long into the future.
Right.
But it's always been an aggressive recommendation from this body that the council has accepted to use a shorter time period to try to recover those funds. And I think that's been a good thing for us to do because if we hadn't done that before, our numbers would be a little more drastic
than
what they are right here. So
that's how we got to 99% because of the council's decision to aggressively fund it.
Right.
And then, like I say, then we had this anomaly of 2022.
Right.
Okay. So that will be a discussion item that I see that Kay is putting on our agenda already for January. And pretty important decision or recommendation to the city council. So we have discussed the end of terms for the members of the committee. We've discussed the actuarial report. Let's review the employee meeting schedule. And is that on the, that's, I think you put that on the agenda already?
Right here.
Got it? Who is going to stick around for the meetings with the employees? You had suggested you might. Steve? Okay, so Steve will be there, I'll be there.
And Andrew.
Very good.
And the employee meeting is not a committee meeting, so we don't have to have a quorum.
Right. And in the past, there haven't been that many folks to show up, you know.
That's correct. Steve?
But maybe with that report that you just sent out showing the balance in their accounts, that might cause more people to come in and ask questions.
There could be, and I have not heard much from folks on it. I think people were sort of expecting it, so, you know, if they've looked at any of their other investments, they understand we've had a bad year in the market, so.
Nobody's jumping off the bridge yet, though.
No.
All right. So, human resources, upcoming retirements?
We don't have any in the hopper right now.
Okay. So, for the rest of the year, no more letters to sign?
No. Not unless we get them at the last minute.
Okay. So, for our next agenda, we know the big ticket item will have a report from Andrew. He'll review 2022 for us. We then have to consider a recommendation to the city council on funding the defined benefit fund. And can you think of anything else that we need to discuss? Because that's a pretty big item.
Well, only thing I can think of is we should probably should put it on there as far as committee members. Did we get any?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that is the...
And we have to
I'm just thinking it might be necessary to have a quorum for that meeting because normally this group would make that recommendation to council about who would be appointed to fill the vacancies. And it may be necessary to have a brief, you know, special meeting to do that so you've got these people on board in January.
So we need to recruit a replacement for Mr. Baker. We need to reach out to Mr. Salins to see if he would be willing to continue to serve so that we have a quorum in the January meeting.
Yeah. Okay. And so it may require a very brief special meeting of the existing board in order to make that recommendation to the council.
And then we would need to have the council make its decision prior to the 26th of January.
They could do at the organizational meeting on January 3rd.
Okay.
So... If we get applicants, and this group can interview those applicants and make a recommendation, you know, that would be the appropriate steps.
Do you have somebody in mind?
I don't have anyone in mind. I'd like to reach out to Mark because, you know, he's a business person. He served on the council, so he has some good input.
Yeah.
I'm not like Mr. Baker, gonna go out and recruit a replacement.
Pardon? Replace himself, right?
Ellen, would you like to take Dad's place?
No, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the other
Mr. Peter knows of somebody.
Pardon?
I did wanna remind everyone, we still, you wanna talk to Mark, but we still have Dave Heater as a member for a while.
Okay.
Okay, so we would have a quorum if Dave was here, Braulio and Steve, but we, I think we need to reach out to Dave Heater to make sure he will be here.
Okay, so we would have a quorum with Braulio, Mr. Stewart, and Mr. Heater. We wanna also reach out to Mark and see if he's going to participate. And what is the process to find another replacement on the board?
What we'll do is we'll advertise, but it's good to do, if you know of someone, that would be good to do it. And someone with a financial background or banking background, you know, we've had, traditionally had someone like that on the trust that, you know, maybe reach out to someone that would have that sort of capability to, you know, provide that expertise on the board as well, so.
Well, something for all of us to be considering. And it sounds as though we need to make a recommendation to the city before the end of this calendar year.
Right.
So that we're fully staffed on the 26th. And if worse comes to worse, Mr. Heater, Mr. Stewart, and Mr. Escobar would consist of the quorum.
Exactly.
Any other business today, folks? Then I would suggest that this would be a good time to adjourn. We can take a little break. And at 10:45, those of us who are going to participate can be here and do a presentation for the defined benefit employees.
Thank you, Braulio.
Thank you, Mr. Noble, Mr. Dietmar Goebel. I remember the last name there. Mr. Kaplan, Josel, Kay. And let's give a big round of applause to Kay. She's been a great asset to this group for years and years, and it'll be sad to see you eventually retire. But hopefully that house is not quite done yet.
That's right.
Josel, big shoes to fill.
No pressure.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah, thank you, Braulio.
Thank you, Braulio.
Yeah, good job.
Dan has a file.
Yeah, exactly.
And the water treatment plant supervisor. He's in your office, I'm not in your office. You can come have a tour of the water treatment plant. Absolutely.
Thank you, it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's only 4.
You don't have to remember that name.
Thank you.
I greet in church and we get, you know, new people will come in. That's like, okay, I said, you've got to give me at least a month, because I only see you one day a week. There's gonna be times I'm saying, I'll be what your name is. Then pretty soon after the visit, well, behind I can tell who it is and I'm doing my little, we kind of check off who's there, you know, just so we have an attendance record and then if moment ever we kind of present a sheet and say, okay, this is who we're So are we leaving the chairs, the tables the same?
Well, thank you. I know the committee appreciates it. I don't know that you've ever missed a meeting that I've been to. You've been a good.
I don't think I have. I was going to prepare a little thing, just looking at some of the meeting stuff that we have gone through. But one thing I want to say is how much I appreciate your firm. How good we've meshed with each other. Kind of work together as a team. And sometimes, you know, you're in Portland or wherever.
Yeah.
But
So anyway, thank you for.
Oh, you're welcome.
I understand, you explained it well.
Yeah.
I tried to.
Yeah, it helped, I mean, I have my own just small investments, you know, but yeah, getting that statement.
Nice job, Kay, that's good, Kay.
Like, dang.
Yeah, if you don't follow the market every day like I do.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Wait, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
I see it every day, it's just.
Yeah, right, I know, even that might be even worse, really.
But you were freaking out last night. $1 million, good luck, $1 million.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got apples, we didn't get apples around here.
What was that, remember that was essential?
Yeah.
You know, didn't have hardly any.
That's just interesting.
Yeah, but your gut, from my gut is like, we're gonna get out of this, I'm gonna keep what I have, you know?
There's a whole field of behavioral finance that I've studied about too.
I'm gonna put some more cake on it.
It's things or biases. It's a whole interesting.
Well, Joselle, don't be running away with my dessert.
So.
Did you make it?
I mean, so far, I said, let's grab the chest.
Yeah, it feels worse to lose money than it does to make.
Yeah.
That's why, like, in the last, you know, 3 years leading up to this, the markets are great, people feel good.
Yeah.
But like, takes 1 year for it to go down, and it's like, you feel terrible.
Whoa, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, we need to pay. But.
Then Fondstars, somebody brings a bill that's a gold certificate, and it's good for $100 or something like that.
And I went out and as I got, I would probably take 3.5 hours, 5 minutes to pick 6 boxes.
Right.
Wow.
And I'd pick them and put them in.
Sure.
And I would chat them out with people.
Thank you for your service.
And that, and actually,
Do you ever see Angie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, he's doing a ton better. So he was.
Thank you for all the happy news.
Yeah, that's all, that's something that's been better.
He used to be one of my heroes, so you aren't anymore.
Yeah, I know.
We'll miss you here.
You take this right. But, you know, if you look at historical graphs.
Or the oxy stuff, so they start by this tiny dose.
Feels bad, it looks bad right now. It'll be a personal.
So it enhances the quality of life.
Big time. And he's doing the chemo.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst year.
I guess there was a fight with the insurance company.
There was. But you know what?
Bonds.
The doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna. Good seeing you, BR. Okay. Okay, I'll see you later.
Retirement.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for being here. You have a bad one.
The doctors, I just say, Charles said, okay, well, we can do.
Well, thank you. You know, I'll still see you around town.
Oh, yeah.
No, this is the new one.
3 years now.
Went after financially or whatever.
You know, like, I was kind of on the fringe anyway, but I used to be so involved.
Yeah.
But it comes, I've only been to 2 years.
Anyway, it's difficult to think about.
I have not been to many Rotary meetings. I have plenty to go today.
I know, and you just want to see him, you know?
I think you may be, or you're tied, or you may be one up.
I mean, sisters, or you probably have some there.
Something like that. But anyway.
His friend was with a little 13-year-old boy that comes and rides his bike, and he goes, hey, the friends here.
I've got a long ways to go.
Yeah, it's just so.
Long ways to go and catch up.
Personality.
Oh, totally.
Overall, I just had.
Yeah. Thanks for doing all this.
International managers that I'm talking about. Columbus, Ohio, and I got recognized 40 years.
Oh, well, awesome.
Boy, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Must have been one of the.
Yeah, no, there were, I think there were 37, you know, there's about 18,000 members of ICMA, and I was one of 37 recognized for 40 years. So.
Yeah, that's really
nice. Yeah, so that tells me I'm getting old too, so.
Well, today, as we stand, this is just about for me.
Yeah, so that was
part of 50 years ago to come and be assistant to the superintendent.
Okay. Got the house and the job that brought you here is all in that same time period, eh?
Yeah, we moved here in 73.
Yeah, I came down.
You came earlier.
I'm going to send a contract until May or June or something like that.